B-Pod Studios.
Me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. I choose the balls that I want. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I feel the lace, I feel the leather. I wouldn't want anyone touching the balls. I would zip those things up and lock them away. Some days one ball may feel good, the next day it may not. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using. This is an ISIS. No one's dying, but this is a very important thing. Because to me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, blowing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I grab it, I grip it. To me, those balls are all perfect. Zip those things up, zip those up, and lock them away. To me, those balls are all perfect.
Like I said, I had no... Yeah.
Everyone lives happily...
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, listen to the show live, listen to all the podcasts. Happy Martin Luther King Day, as we're having trouble getting Rich in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And this doesn't scream engineer day, because it's weird. All the other radio stations in the building, there's nobody, nobody in their control room. So we could, if we wanted to, there's enough of us where we could go and just go into every radio station and pop the mics up and just start talking.
The first hint of that was when I showed up today, and usually... There aren't a lot of cars in the parking lot now, like, ever. But when I show up, there are about 10. I showed up, there was one other car in the parking lot this morning. Yeah. I was like, did I miss something? Nope. It's just a holiday and nobody's here.
Yeah, so we could... I've done this before. There was... Listen to this, because I've actually thought about this the other day. There was a time when I was working at another radio station and they were on vacation. My show was on live... And there was another station in the building, and it was a show called The Burt Show, which is still on the air. And Burt Weiss was the guy who was in charge of the show. And they were on vacation, and the guy that was supposed to run the board for their best of slept in, like slept through his alarm. So they had just dead air. So we called the guy to wake him up, and it woke him up, and he was coming in, and we had someone... But then a guy from my show went in there and, like, podded the mic up. They had dead air. And we called into the radio station. And we were just talking on their air.
Oh, nice.
So the Burt throws an absolute conniption fit and wants us fired. And they ended up taking away billboards of ours and giving them to Burt because he cried like a bitch.
Did you tell him to go screw himself and have his employees act more responsibly?
That whole place was a disaster at that point. that was just, I mean, I left. I mean, that place was just such a disaster at that point. But, I mean, can you imagine being that humorless, like that bunch of a prick? No. And apparently he's a huge prick, too. And that hasn't changed.
Is he, like, syndicated, or is he in this one? He's on this
He's syndicated now. He wasn't syndicated at the time.
And where was this again?
Atlanta.
Okay.
But the thing is, no, he wasn't syndicated. And even if he was syndicated, I mean, it doesn't matter at all. But even if it was, it wouldn't have gone out over the air at, I don't think, of the other stations.
Okay.
But, so, it was either you have dead air, or, like, we're talking on it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's 6 a.m. Who cares? I mean, at the end of the, you think you're that important in the management all. I mean, we got in trouble every day. Every day was another catastrophe at that radio station. Every single day was another problem. Another thing. We had a meeting room. Can you imagine that? We had a room where we could meet after the shows.
I have no idea what that means.
And with like couches and a desk, and it was really something else.
How about that?
I know. It was something.
You guys were living large.
I'll tell you. Well, there was only 2 stations in the building. There used to only be 1. Oh. And we had a, like, days since the last time we were in trouble. We would X out on a calendar. And I don't think we ever got more.
Wait,
than
it wasn't a common area where everyone could meet? You had your own room?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, basically, it was our own room.
Wow.
Well, when I first started at 90NX, one of the guys on the morning show had an office. Boomer Esiason has an office.
He does?
And how often can he be there?
Well, considering during the football season, almost never, I would imagine, right?
I mean, just do you think he hangs out after the show in his office?
God, he's got a private jet to get on to fly somewhere. No.
Yeah.
Hell no.
So, and the only reason I know that is... someone was stealing boxes from in front of his office, which I guess proves that he's never there.
Yeah,
because they just were leaving all these boxes in front of his office around Christmas, and someone was taking them.
There was a guy who had an iron bust of himself, Fred. Do you remember that? There was a host who just like almost like a something in a museum. It was like a mold of his face.
Yeah,
sitting out prominently displayed.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then a guy popped up at the other station and said, "Oh, you think you're something? I'll be something too." Because it was Barnes that had the bust, right?
Yeah, he had one. Yeah, yes. And I don't even know the story behind it, but it's just very strange.
I don't know if it was given to him as like a joke that he didn't get. And he liked it, or what the deal was. But, yeah, he had a bust. And then Bert was the big complainer. And because I was saying, Rich, that there's no one in any other of the studios. There's, like, not even anyone running the board. So we could conceivably go in and go on the air at all the other radio stations and start talking. And then I told the story about how one time Bert, the Bird Show in Atlanta, was in our building, and the guy who was supposed to run their best of never showed up, so they had dead air. So we had one of our guys go into their station, and we had like a conversation on the air over the phone, and Bird had a conniption fit and like tried to get everyone fired and ended up taking all our billboards because he threw a hissy fit that we, you know, the sanctity of his... Top, you know, they could have been playing the new Jessica Simpson song but instead they had our voices. I mean, it was really, really something else, really terrible.
That was a weird era where, like, you know, because now you walk around and you're right, at night no one's in the studios. It's just like a computer thing that rolls one way to the next. And back in the day, if somebody didn't show up for their shift or if somebody left, like, it was just like dead air. Like,
well,
screwed.
Yeah, they were automated overnight, but then they had to have the guy come in and do it in the morning. So there was no one there overnight. So when he slept, it just ended. Like, no one had loaded anything in, and it just had ended. So Bert apparently in management agreed that dead air would have been better. They should have just had dead air for an hour while that idiot who's now not Bert, but the idiot that didn't show up has now been fired and is unemployed. Go ahead, Dan.
Remember when you used to get excited about having meetings about billboards?
You'd
be
yes.
Like, you know, for like the fall, you'd be like, wow, we're getting 3 billboards out on the highway that would say the name of the show, you know.
I think
it was like had to be budgeted and, you know.
Yeah, no, well, that's, we had billboards here like 2 years ago, but I don't think we have
the digital
anymore.
Billboards. Yeah.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Are probably not as tough as making the other ones. I mean, the other ones you'd have to go up and you'd have to hire somebody to plaster them up with the. Now it's just basically press GIF,
press
enter.
Send.
You know? Yeah, send, and it's on the billboard.
Wallpapering like a huge rectangle. That's right.
Right. It's kind of super easy now to get that done, which is great. It still has effective, so that's awesome and it's appreciated. But yeah, it used to be a big deal back in the day.
Yeah, I didn't get many, but and the ones I got were taken away. By Bert, because we dared go on his precious airwaves, and he's still working. So big thank you to all the birthday wishes, and thank you, Rich, for putting that up at the Toucher and Rich Twitter page.
A lot of people reaching out.
I had some people reach out. But, I mean, if you want to know what my life's like now, my wife rented out a movie theater. And we watched, us and a couple other families watched Back to the Future. That was my birthday. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Which did she get to pick the movie, or was it just that if you rent a theater, you're getting Back to the Future?
If you rent, I guess there was a selection of movies, and she felt that Back to the Future. You could have watched Wonder Woman. They had Wonder Woman.
No, be glad you didn't. If it's the new Wonder Woman, no.
But I don't know what the collections were, but there was it was Back to the Future,
mm-hmm.
which is a good movie. Now and then, just randomly on Twitter yesterday, they showed something. Is that say the mall was called Twin Pines? That the mall is called Twin Pines, and when he goes to the mall at the beginning of the movie, and then when he comes back, it's mm-hmm. called like Lone Pine Mall.
Yeah, because he nails the tree.
Oh yeah,
I never knew that.
That's right.
Oh really? Yeah,
Lone Pine. I didn't know that either.
Remember, he goes my pines and shoots at him after he knocks one of them down. Lone Pine Mall.
That movie, I'll tell you, that movie, they cover all their bases. I mean, they nailed it.
Everything connects. Yeah.
They put a lot of thought into that. Yeah. Though. I mean, because, you know, I watched it with my kids. But when you watch something at home, you're not really watching it. So I actually watched it at the movie theater. And, you know, it came out. Obviously, 1955 to that movie is less time than has elapsed since that movie came out till now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd never really sat down and taken a gander at it seriously as an adult. Not a lot of loose ends in that thing.
So you know what else that spawned yesterday? Sorry, Rich, was there was also another photo of from the movie Trading Places when Dan Aykroyd was arrested as Winthorpe, and he was holding up his badge in front of the when he was being arrested. It's the same number that they gave John Belushi in The Blues Brothers.
Oh,
because John Belushi had passed while they were filming Trading Places. So it's the same director, I think, right? As an honor or sort of a nod and wink to John Belushi. So
and Frank Oz is the guy who books them.
Jim Belushi responded on Twitter and he said he'd never known that.
Yeah, who would?
Yeah.
And yeah, Frank Oz is the guy that books him in both movies. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that says one prophylactic soiled. And then he's the guy in Trading Places that is booking him as well.
Oh.
The voice of Miss Piggy.
I don't know if he's the voice of it. Is he the voice or he just works them?
No, both.
He is the voice of Miss Piggy and the voice of Yoda and the voice of Animal, I believe. Yeah, he did a lot of the Muppets. It was him and Jim Henson did the lion's share. I don't even know if there's anybody outside of those two who did the majority. He did Fozzie Bear.
It's so funny because his voice is so monotone, you would never think that he had any kind of ability to do that.
Well, the best is like when he tried to get into directing, he did this movie called The Score with Ed Norton and Robert De Niro. And Robert De Niro was just a grumpy bastard. And apparently he did not like the fact that someone who worked on The Muppets was directing this movie. And he kept calling him Miss Piggy throughout the entire production. And it really pissed off Frank Oz. He's like, yeah, whatever you say, Miss Piggy. Shut up, Miss Piggy. Give me some coffee there, Fozzie Bear. Just continue just to berate him because he worked on The Muppets.
Yeah, I told you about this book I'm reading. It's called The Devil's Plaything, and it's about the making of A Bonfire of the Vanities. The Bonfire of the Vanities.
Yeah, I want to read that. I put that on my list.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably... I mean, it's really in-depth. Like, this woman got an... Bonfire of Vanities was a giant book in the 80s by Tom Wolfe, and it represented this, you know, it pretty much encapsulated the 80s, and... they bought the movie studio bought the book for like some tremendous amount of money.
Oh, that was Tom Hanks and Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah, and so they casted Tom Hanks. Frank De Palma directed it, and they casted Tom Hanks, which everyone thought was like the dumbest casting of all time, when it turned out to be right. And this Brian De Palma gave this woman complete carte blanche to follow him around during the filming of it and be involved in everything. Location scouting, catering, like everything. It's a really long book, and it gets to be long at times. But you making a movie sucks. And so when you tell me about Frank Oz and having said, I can only imagine. Actors don't have to do anything during those movies.
Well, think about it now.
They just stand there.
Well, that Johnny Depp story revealed that he has an earpiece in which somebody would feed him the lines that he didn't want to ever, like, remember. It used to be they'd be in their trailer, they'd be rehearsing their lines. Johnny Depp, we found out, you know, there was a guy that he would have to have on staff who was reading the script into his earpiece, and he was just reciting those things on camera. So actors literally don't have to even do the memorization of any of their lines anymore.
And to not be able to memorize your lines, because I'm not joking that if because they'll go, oh, I had to get to set at like 5 a.m. and stay until like 7 p.m. They're legitimately working a half an hour.
God.
And so the idea, and their entourage is like Bruce Willis comes off terribly in this book, and he comes off even worse in response to the book because he calls this woman all these names. But they realized very quickly he couldn't act. And so they had to change a bunch of stuff because he was so one note, and they had to like actually like rewrite the script in a way because he like just couldn't do it. And he surrounded himself, and if this doesn't give you a little insight into his psyche, his, like, best friend, in quotations, is his body double. He's this guy that he met on Moonlighting, and he was just like, oh, this guy looks like me, and I can order him around.
Well, what's great, too, is this was the era of Bruce Willis when he was singing into Seagram's wine coolers.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like, he got famous at what, Rich, like 33 or something? Like kind of later than, you know, like some people. And he just went, I'm famous. And just went, woo!
He went all Bruno on it.
Yeah, this is like right after Die Hard. I think he got Bonfire of the Vanities, where he was huge. And he just went, I'm making blues records and I'm doing everything else under the sun. And there's nothing you can do to stop me. And that's called, because people will email and send messages, it's called the devil's plaything. Is the name, and it's written by a woman. I can't remember her name. Some broad. All right, Rich, it was a big weekend for the old pigskinneroo. Mm-hmm. And there was a game that was very slow and then got very exciting. And then there was a game in the Superdome where I have trouble caring about those games. But we will hear all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
How about that, I take it?
Yes, when we get back, Tom Brady is inevitable.
There you go. We will have that for you in just a moment.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, lots going on yesterday.
Yep, Tom Brady may have just ended Drew Brees' career. Clip.
Brees dropping, looking, throws the pass to the right side. It is intercepted on the far sideline. Bucks have the ball.
Yeah, in fairness, it wasn't Tom Brady who may have ended Drew Brees' career. It was Brees himself who was a disaster in the Bucks' 30-20 win over the Saints. If it was to be Brees' last game, as reported by Fox beforehand, It was a sad note to go out on. His first career three-interception game in 18 postseason games, with Tampa Bay scoring 21 of their 30 points off turnovers. And as far as Brady, well, he was there to clean up the mess. Clip.
Second down and goal from the one. Quarterback sneak. Tom Brady, did he get in?
Yes.
He's very close. Is it a touchdown, Mr. Ref?
Yes.
Sean Hockley, touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Sean Hockley.
Puker Magoo.
Yeah, yeah. Puker Magoo. Not at the game. Not his fault. But
second
not
down
the...
and goal from the one. Quarterback sneak. Tom Brady, did he get in?
Yes.
He's very close. Is it a touchdown, Mr. Ref?
Yes.
Sean Hockley, touchdown, Tampa
Welcome
Bay.
Welcome to the stage. Get your dollar bills ready for Trixie.
It is his fault. Whether he's on location or not, he still sounds like
I said it's not. I don't want to get a bunch of people going, bleh. So I said it's not his fault. He's not at the game.
Oh, okay.
But you put Puker Magoo without the ambient crowd noise, and you are dealing with a hack, a very bad broadcaster. Who told you to talk like that? When did that become the way you're supposed to talk? That no
I've
one talks like
if
that.
If he's like 70, I give him like a little bit of leeway. Because if he's like golden age of radio guy, cool.
Watch him be like 40. Hang on a second.
No, he's not. Right. There's no way he's 70, because the guys that are 70 are like Myron Cope and those dudes. Their voices are just screwed from 8,000 cigarettes and 5 million fists of Jack. Those are cool old guy voices where I know what you're talking about, like the guy who does the Penguins games. They don't really even pay him. Like he doesn't have a contract. He's just like, that money comes into the bank account,
Yeah, Ma, Meatloaf. He does like the lines from the games and stuff like from movies. Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. Or is it Meryl? Who's the
Meryl
dude
Reese.
Who does the
Meryl Reese? Meryl Reese is the guy who does Philadelphia.
He's the one who sounds like Kermit the Frog. That guy's all right.
Yeah, he's like 65, 70. Yeah.
I don't think the guy from Pittsburgh is the movie line guy. That's in Florida. The guy in Pittsburgh is just old.
Mike Lang. Yeah.
The guy in Pittsburgh.
Oh, for some reason, I thought he was the one who did the movie line.
No, the movie line guy is kind of younger comparatively. No, the guy in Pittsburgh is like 80.
Yeah.
And he's just been doing it, since they've had a team.
50 years, ever since Pittsburgh got the team, I think Lang's been the only guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I read that article about him, and you're right. It just seems like he almost does it for free. Like, it's like there's no real contract situation. He just kind of shows up, and nobody's told him no.
Yeah, he's the guy who puts a suit on to go to the bank. Yeah, he's twice a year he goes by and picks up a paycheck and goes,
let's hope that this dude at Tampa Bay is like that. And I love peacocking, critiquing this guy, saying, come on, if you got the wall game chops, you can sit here and you can judge.
Hell yeah.
Which, of course.
I mean, there's no Brian Robb to sit there and, and add to the drama.
Well, listen, two passing, one rushing touchdown for Brady. If you want to put in perspective really how ridiculous all this is, Brady has been a starting quarterback for 19 seasons in the NFL, and he's made the conference title game 14 times. And now we go to the Battle of the Bays. Brady takes on Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, where there is, I guess, over a 40% chance of hard snow on Sunday, which would be kind of rad, but that's never really bothered Brady before. Here is Tom Brady after the game clip.
Defense was incredible all game. The turnovers were huge. Last time we played them, we lost a turnover, -3. Today was +4. You're not going to lose many games when you're +4. So just a great effort offensively. We made some plays when we needed to. Running game was great. Line protected great up front. Just a great week of prep. There's only four teams left. We're one of them. Aaron's playing incredible. They got a great defense. So it's going to be a great matchup.
Just after watching that Green Bay game, Tampa's going to get killed. I mean, that team, that's easily the most complete team that's left in the NFL right now.
You know what? The last time New Orleans played Tampa Bay, they ran them off the field 38-3. And how many times did we see it? I mean, how many times did the Patriots go into games? You're like, I don't know. The Patriots, they don't match up. Somehow Brady makes the difference. Somehow he gets it done. I'm not ruling that out. I agree. Green Bay has home field. It's going to be snowing. Temperatures are going to be in the low 20s. But I give Brady an even chance to go in there and win. Why wouldn't you? Have you seen it so many times before?
Well, I mean, listen, Vegas seems to agree that it's going to be a lot closer than I think some people thought. Green Bay is only favored by 3.5. And that's, at Green Bay, over under total being 51.5. It's going to be a high scoring game. But as far as Drew Brees, as you know, Jay Glazer before the game indicated, and it didn't even sound like it was speculation. It sounded like he knew something. It may have been the last game of Brees' career. Drew was asked about it after the game. Here you go, Dan.
This your last game?
Well, I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to, you know, think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
Okay, they did an article about every team left in the playoffs before this weekend's games about their salary cap situation. If Brees doesn't retire, oof,
no, Brees,
they
man.
Are no. so screwed. I mean, he because they're over the cap, or if they're not over the cap, they're within dollars of being at the cap, and they need to move a lot of pieces around. If he does not retire, and he you know, he played catch with Brady after the game and stuff. I mean, he's
3 hours after the game, he's looking around the stadium. He's done.
Yeah, he's not good enough. He shouldn't be playing anymore. And
The best quarterback play for the Saints was from Jameis Winston yesterday.
Yeah, and so and you know, he was hurt this year and this and that. So
yeah, he looked old, like he couldn't. And I remember who's it was.
He couldn't throw downfield.
Aikman was like, yeah, now's the time for Brees to be pushing the football down the field.
Yes.
He can't throw it longer than this. Is like Peyton Manning at the end. He couldn't throw the ball. For New Orleans got to where they were not because Brees threw the ball all over the place. It's because their running game and defense were spectacular all year.
And they didn't match up well with Tampa Bay in that game because Tampa Bay's running defense is so good. And
yeah,
he couldn't throw the ball. So I guess you don't want to just say anything because you don't want to be Brett Favre and sit there and dance around and start making announcements and then have to turn back on it. But
that could team, still do it when he retired the first time.
Yeah, but I'm saying is well, and then Favre retired 85,000 other times. My point is you don't want to be Brett Favre, and that's admirable.
Right.
But that team's going to be, if he doesn't retire by some, you know, if he gets a hair up his ass that he's not going to retire and he doesn't want to go out like he went out last night, then that team is in big, big trouble and not able to give contracts to guys like Lattimore. And they have a bunch of stars that need to get paid, and they're not going to have the money to do any of that because his cap hit, if I'm remembering correctly, is huge. So it would be nice if for everyone involved for him to step away from the game. And I don't – that's not someone I'm going to go, oh, Drew Brees. I mean,
well,
you know,
well, Brees' performance – well, also yesterday, it puts in perspective how just stupid it is what Tom Brady's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen all these people. These. I mean, you saw Peyton Manning fall apart, even though he ended up winning a Super Bowl. He wasn't any good.
No, it was the running game and the defense that got
him. Yeah, you're right. But
that last
Drew Brees
Super Bowl,
just,
yeah.
Like, Elway. And like Brady, yeah, Elway, same Brady thing. This year had, like, more passes downfield than he had, about, what, 20-plus yards than he had in, like, I don't know how long.
No, but
his arm is still strong.
Well,
it's really utterly ridiculous what we're
they're
seeing.
They're segueing, though, into the Brees-Elway type. He's got – the running game has been good. And, yeah, he's got a lot of weapons. But he wasn't the reason they won yesterday.
No.
Yesterday, Brees gave them, what, 4 short fields? All four turnovers – interceptions and the fumble were like at the 50 or on the other side.
No,
of the
Brady's
field.
Not nearly as good as he was before. But the thing is that he's 43 years old, almost 44, and he's
not throwing like Drew Brees.
Yeah, he's a top 10 quarterback in football. I mean, that's the point. Yeah, he's not the best anymore by any stretch of the imagination. He's by far not the best quarterback playing in his game. I mean, Rodgers is 1,000 times better than him. I mean, Rodgers can throw the ball 40 yards downfield by flicking his wrist.
The MVP.
There's an argument that he's the worst of the four quarterbacks remaining.
If Mahomes plays,
Well, yeah, if you and Buffalo Chip are on the line, yes.
I mean, listen, I would rather have Tom Brady in a playoff game than Josh Allen.
Oh, that's a bold statement.
That looking at this year, statement. You know, statistically, you cannot make that argument. You know,
I have to hand it to the listeners because I did not get one email after the Buffalo game saying, oh, did you see Josh Allen? So thank you. I appreciate having some sense of reality that we can all agree that's a push, and we can see we can delay our thoughts until Sunday because I will call that Buffalo game a push. I'm not going to insult Josh Allen. It was a very windy day in Buffalo, but I'm certainly not crowning him the king of the AFC just yet. that because he did nothing. I mean, they were like, you're not throwing the ball further than 5 yards downfield.
It came down to one play, the pick six in the other direction. Yeah. If that doesn't happen, then it's a tie game.
Or that he can throw the ball laterally and he has receivers that mm-hmm. can take it for 20 yards, which Daboll's been doing all season, which is part of the point that us Allen haters have been making. But listen, if he does very well in Kansas City, you got to hand it to him. I don't think that's going to happen, but we can delay. Now we have another week to see. All right, we'll be right back. So much more going on here. The headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, the good news is that Kemba is back. The bad news is that the Celtics stunk to high heaven yesterday. Clip.
Celtics now 4 of 26 from 3. Payton goes the distance. Kick to the corner. Waiting is Bullock. Has all day. Stepping to his left. Misses the 3. R.J. Barrett on the weak side. Offensive rebound. Put back. There is not a facet of the game that James Naismith invented that the Celtics are not getting beaten on today.
Yep, to be honest, I thought this was the game we were going to see Friday. After a week off of playing from all the COVID restrictions, Friday night's game was an unexpected rout, complete with garbage time threes from Taco Fall. But it looks like they waited a game to play like absolute garbage as they lost badly, 105-75.
It was a 2 that by Taco Fall. His foot was on the line. That's what they call it a 2.
Well, it's a 3 to me, damn okay. it. It's a watching 2. The crowd right. go crazy or the, no, it was the
a
bench.
Two. I okay. didn't call it a 3.
Okay.
Well, if you have big feet like that, it's got to be very difficult. That's my wife.
Sure. He's technically further back than a normal person shooting a 3, but you're right because of his gigantic hoofs that he's got out there. That is the lowest scoring output, 75 points of the Brad Stevens era. One of the reasons was that they were putrid from 3. 7 of 46. That is the second worst 3-point shooting game in franchise history. I can't even imagine what was worse than that. The only positive to take away from yesterday's game is that Kemba is finally back on the court. Clip.
Down the right side, Kemba blows by 2 men, including Robinson, scoops it up and in, scored, and the foul. But Kemba's gotten going here in the second quarter.
Yeah, he looked fine for his first day back. I mean, 9 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, but 5 turnovers, and he, too, had a major problem from 3. He went 1 for 8. I mean, really, it was just a night they'd all like to forget. And Kemba Walker talked afterwards about, you know, trying to get his rhythm back. Clip.
I get my rhythm, you know, just a matter of time. I'm not in any type of rush. Now, obviously, I want to play well, you know, but it just doesn't happen that way. You know, my rhythm will come. It's a long season. We still got so many more games left. You know, I've been on for a while. Like you said, I haven't been playing with the team. I haven't been practicing much. So, you know, it's only a matter of time. We'll be fine. You know, we're still missing guys. You know, it's going to be like this probably throughout the course of this year. So we got to adjust. We got to adapt and be ready.
In other words, I'm not the reason we suck today.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of leeway.
He looked good, though. I mean, honestly, he didn't shoot the ball well. Right. Nobody, they looked awful as a team, whatever. After the first 10 minutes of the game, what you were looking at was to see whether or not Kemba Walker on that knee looked decent, and he did. And I'm happy he looked decent yesterday. It's a positive thing, but ultimately, it's not about now. It's about 2 months from now. And we saw when he arrived in the bubble and we were all worried about his knee. He looked good at the start. But once we got to the Eastern Conference Finals, you saw that knee give out a little bit. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that, once again, he's going to have trouble with that knee when we get late in the season and in the playoffs.
Fred, does this just mean with Kemba back, it's just less time for Pritchard out there?
Unfortunately, I would guess that's the unfortunate circumstance that's going to occur. But hopefully that knee gives out and we'll have Pritchard for days and he can rightly take his throne. You know, he practices at the old facility in Brookline. He doesn't even.
Oh, he goes to Hellenic.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. He practices with the team in Brighton, and then he just goes right out to Brookline to, you know, smell the floor that McHale and Bird once played on.
The old school ghosts permeate him. As
him and Wally Szczerbiak in the history of white guys that played for the team.
The bad old days.
Yes, yeah, well, that's when I got here. There was a Szczerbiak infusion. That's when I had courtside seats for a game. That's when anything went when I first came here. I had half-season tickets to the Bruins right next to the Bruins bench, and I got to see a game on the floor.
You know what's wild is that after the Szczerbiak year, obviously we know what happened with the big three. Like, since the Szczerbiak era, there's really only been one year where the team has sucked. Think about that. Like, I mean, ever since, what was it, 2006 or 2007?
Well, Brad's first year didn't go very well here.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The first year when it was when Rondo was the big star and there was nobody else,
right,
was like the only year that they sucked. Because remember, after that, shockingly, they did well. Did well in the playoffs, or they got into the play.
Well, they were struggling, and then Isaiah caught fire, and they went on a long run.
That was
what, February, March of Brad's second year. And ever since then,
think about that. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. Is that, you know, because you think about the Szczerbiak era, and that was just bad. Yeah. But since then, they've really only had one awful year. And I think everyone gave them a grain of salt because you're right. It was the whole transition and all that stuff. But as far as their next game,
Szczerbiak was very excited to be on the team when him and Chris Humphreys were all smiles.
Jesus. I mean, I remember I was covering the Celtics.
That wasn't Chris Humphreys.
No, that was Humphreys showed up when we were
one,
here.
That was another one where they were very excited.
Yeah. I remember, you know, you have the hype video before the lineup start. And I remember the Celtics' big hype video was Eminence Front by The Who. And ladies and gentlemen, the Boston Celtics. And the building would be half empty and be no
from
noise.
Miami of Ohio.
And guard from St. Joseph's, number 13, Delonte West. And there would be no noise at all in the building while Eminence Front of The Who played. That's how bad it was back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as their next game, Brad Stevens still has no idea who's going to be back on the court due to all the COVID protocols. He was asked about the game of revolving chairs that the team has been playing lately. Here's Brad.
I don't know the answer to that. That'll all be dependent on how the next few days go. You know, everybody's got their own different testing protocols they have to go through and the timeline that they have to be on. So I don't know what to expect for Wednesday night. We'll just play it by ear and go with the information we get every morning.
I don't think the timing lends itself to that, to Tatum being back yet, but I think there could be other guys that return. I think Tatum, it's going to be until this weekend at the earliest, right, John?
They may not play on Wednesday. I mean, Philadelphia had their game tonight against Oklahoma City postponed because Philadelphia has massive COVID problems up and down the roster. They may not even play Wednesday.
Well, if it makes you feel better, during the break, I was reading a fake news, some people would say, but it was from that pesky New York Times. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, they were talking to epidemiologists, and they were saying that the government is underselling the vaccine's effectiveness in that it is, within argument, the best vaccine ever created, in that taking the vaccine, while they say 95%, is essentially 100% effective, and that it is a cure to a very serious disease. Quote, a cure to a very serious disease. So epidemiologists are starting to get pissed, apparently, according to the New York Times, that there seems to be an underselling of the effectiveness of the virus, and they use it as I guess I don't recall this, but people were saying masks weren't effective because they didn't want everyone buying up all the masks so the hospitals couldn't have them. That's the argument they're making in this Times piece. And that ended up biting them in the ass. So as soon as people, you know, now they're only 30 million injections behind from what they thought they would do.
Well, the craziest thing, Fred, is the news this weekend. You know, that guy, the Azar guy, came out, was like, all right, we're going to release all of the second doses that the government has been holding on to. And then you found out this weekend, there is no stockpile the government's been holding on to. They've all been sent out. So like that never existed, even though they came out and said that it was there. So what's out there is out there right now. And I don't know how you can completely screw up. I mean, that's the most valuable thing on earth right now, is a COVID vaccine. And to just lose track of millions upon millions of them, or just not account for them, is very strange to say.
On my birthday, I was talking to my parents, and somehow the COVID thing. Oh, I hadn't talked to my dad since he had gotten the inoculation, and he said, and I said, oh, well, you know, Biden's got this plan. Maybe when he comes into the office, it will be a little easier. And he just started laughing at me, so I just handed the phone to my wife. Because his whole point was, I mean, it's going to disasters ahead of us. That come Thursday, look out, because no one's going to be able to get the vaccine because it's been run so well. And all Biden can do is step in and ruin it. I mean, this is a guy who found out he could get the vaccine from his neighbor and was going to sue the state because they told him he couldn't get it the first time. So this is a guy, I mean, it's unbelievable. I could see saying, oh, I don't know, it's the government. And you could go, yeah, well, maybe it won't get any better. But the idea that it's going to get 10 times worse is a bit of a joke. I mean, there is a plan in place now. And come Thursday, this plan is supposed to start going into effect. So if anything, the worst case scenario, I would imagine, is it would stay the same. I don't see how it would get much worse. I don't know exactly what would happen to make it worse.
Well, listen, if you're a big basketball fan, maybe you should just subscribe to Charles Barkley's theory on vaccines, and that is that basketball players should get it before the regular public because they pay more taxes. Did you hear him say that?
He's got a point.
Like, I don't doubt that he said it, but no, I didn't miss it.
And he goes, yeah, they pay more taxes than most people, so they should get it before the general
apparently, report. According to a company email, three people on this station, on-air people, are going to get the vaccine.
Yes, yes, yes.
But are you one of them?
I may be.
Do the three people know who they are?
There's nothing concrete, but I think the main deal is that when it becomes available, I mean, there's no jumping in line or anything, but when it becomes available, it's going to be one of these things where they want influencers to do it. So it shows people that, hey, this is not anything scary. This is something that everyone should get. And I also think it's because they want my ass back at the radio station. That's probably the other part.
That could be, right? I think that's probably a good theory.
So Rich is one
I think
of
they're
the...
doing the show a solid, Fred.
I don't care when I get it. But the three people know. So it's Rich, and then someone from the Midday show, and then someone from the Felger and Mav show. And it is jumping the line in a sense, is that you'll get it before any of us get it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But I think it would be at the beginning of the group that I would be qualified for. So it's not like, I don't think that.
Then you're going to have to wait until June, whatever, you know?
Well, I think it's supposed to be like end of March.
Oh, all right.
All right. Well, no, I don't have a...
And also, the floodgates are going to open up fairly soon, too.
I want you to get it before me. You need it more than I do. So, obviously, you should get it before me. I just assumed you would anyway. But, three influencers have been picked from the radio station.
Hmm.
And so, John, you and I are not one of the influencers.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, I would prefer it be Rich anyway, but...
I agree with that. That's true.
But who remains to be seen? Well, it won't be Zolak. Because Zolak had it.
That's true.
Oh, Bertrand's all afraid of COVID, so it's probably going to be Bertrand. And then Maz is all afraid of COVID, so it's probably Maz. And so there's my prediction, Bertrand, because Scott doesn't need it.
Yep.
So it's going to be, he'll get it, but he doesn't need it desperately. So Bertrand was super afraid of it. So it's Bertrand, Maz, and Maz takes care of his dad, and Rich. I can live with that. That's good. That's who it should go to. I've made my statement on the air. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.